My place in tech changes every day, but I don't fear the future because I'm with the leader, Pluralsight. Their online learning platform has the hands-on, expert-led courses I need to master new tech skills and create bigger impacts so I can learn quickly and stay ahead. With Pluralsight, I don't fear what's next. I embrace it. Tap in at Pluralsight.com and see for yourself.
Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
Warm season's greetings to you all.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from TRE, Talk Radio Europe, your voice in Spain and around the world. For more information, please visit tre.radio.
Discuss, challenge, inform, comment, viewpoint on Talk Radio Europe.
Giles Brown.
Live comment and discussion with studio guests.
Viewpoint.
It is Tuesday, the 4th of August. You're listening to Viewpoint with me, Giles Brown, Talk Radio Europe's current affairs programme, where we discuss the issues of the day with invited guests today. Quite a busy news past 24 hours in the news, especially in Spain. Going to be obviously speaking about King Juan Carlos leaving the country amid a tax haven scandal. Also looking at the latest news coming out of the UK, re-coronavirus and other issues as well. If you want to get involved with the show, these are the numbers to dial.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
But first, let's have a look at the at the headlines. The alleged Russian hacking of the ex-cabinet minister Liam Fox is the top story for The Guardian and The Daily Telegraph. The Guardian says Whitehall sources indicated that there were multiple security breaches from Mr. Fox's personal email and suggest it poses serious questions for the MP, who is the UK's nominee for a top position at the World Trade Organization. The Daily Telegraph says the theft of documents from the former Trade Secretary has prompted a fresh review of government security. The I newspaper reports that government scientific advisers are suggesting that people who have recently recovered from COVID-19 should be exempt from self-isolation and quarantine rules because they're much less likely to be infectious. It says the finding could reopen the prospect of immunity passports. The Independent's online paper reports on health data, which it says reveals the true toll of coronavirus on NHS waiting lists. According to its analysis, in March last year, less than 1,200 people across the UK had to wait more than a year for treatment. But in July this year, the figure was nearly 20,000 in London alone. There are many tributes following the death of one of the architects of the peace process in Northern Ireland, John Hume. Writing for The Spectator, Alex Massey calls him the first and greatest of the Irish peacemakers and says, "Few men in our lifetimes have served their country with greater distinction." The Guardian says peacemaking was often a lonely and perilous path, but the SDLP leader emerged vindicated and triumphant to become a revered statesman. The Telegraph's editorial says he's earned his status in the pantheon of Irish politics by his refusal to support the men of violence who are sought to achieve their aims with the gun and the bomb. Newspapers in Spain have been reacting to the decision by their former king, Juan Carlos, to leave the country while he's under investigation for corruption. La Vanguardia says the departure of Juan Carlos, who handed power to his son 6 years ago, has shaken the foundations of Spanish politics. El Mundo says the people will be shocked by his decision to go abroad and says it carries an added symbolic burden because of painful exiles experienced by him and several of his ancestors. Oedipus describes the former king as leaving through the back door from his home of almost 58 years. Its editorial argues that despite his disappointing conduct in the final years of his reign, his contribution to the progress and freedom of the Spanish should not be forgotten. Many papers carry pictures of crowded cafes and queues outside restaurants as people took advantage of the Chancellor's Rishi Sunak's Eat Out to Help Out discount. The Daily Mail's caption is Bargain Banquet Britain. The Sun describes the Rishi Dishi meal out as cheap as chips. Daily Telegraph reports that Monday to Wednesdays, the days when 50% discount applies, is now the new weekend. For the Times, the measure has helped restaurants turn the tables, and the Daily Mirror appeals to hail it as a successful start with its caption, "The proof of the pudding." Just going back to El País, obviously the main story is Spain's Emeritus King Juan Carlos I to leave the country. The former monarch has told Felipe VI of his well-considered decision to move away from Spain after Swiss and Spanish prosecutors opened an investigation into allegations of financial irregularities. The decision comes after the decision to open the open investigation to the bank accounts. In a letter to his son released by the royal household, Juan Carlos writes that due to the public impact of the investigation, he's decided to leave Spain in order to enable Felipe VI to act as head of state from a place of peace and tranquility. The complete letter reads, and I'll read this, "Your Majesty, dear Felipe, with the same zeal to serve Spain that inspired my reign and faced with the public impact that certain past actions of my private life is causing, I wish to show you my absolute willingness to contribute to helping the exercise of your functions from the peace and tranquility required of your high level of responsibility. My legacy and my own dignity as a person demands it. A year ago, I told you of my willingness and desire to stand down from my institutional activities. Now, guided by the conviction to provoke the best service to Spaniards, its institutions, and to you as king, I am informing you of my well-considered decision to move away from Spain. It is a decision I take with deep feelings but great calm. I was king of Spain for 40 years, and during all those years I have always wanted the best for Spain and the crown. With my loyalty always, with great affection, your father." According to the press release from the royal household, Felipe VI has told his father of his respect and appreciation for the decision. The king wants to highlight the historical importance that his father's reign represents as a legacy, political work, and institutional service to Spain and democracy, and also to reaffirm the principles and values that are founded in the framework of our constitution and the rest of the legal system. The press release concludes. So, that is the major story today, of course, in Spain. 952-784-4000 is the phone number. Studio at tre.radio is the email. The Facebook page is Talk Radio Europe Official. You can WhatsApp me on +34645996795. Just looking at the other Spanish story, or just to bring up to date on what they're saying, re-coronavirus. So obviously it makes the front pages. Coronavirus cases in Spain jump eightfold since the end of the state of alarm, and Spain reports nearly 1,000 new daily COVID-19 cases. We've got a caller on the line. We'll go live to the lines, and then we're going to go to Andres. Morning, caller, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Oh, hello. My name is Phil Lewis. I'm calling from near Alicante, La Marina, Alicante province. And briefly to the presenter about Giles, it would be something to do with Hong Kong, what's going on there now.
You spoke about this. You've been on this before. We talked about this on last Wednesday, didn't we?
Well, I had about 5 minutes.
And right, okay.
Came back at me for 5 minutes. Go on. And this was, but the point is, it wasn't Giles. He's far too intelligent to talk like that. The guy talked rubbish. Can I just respond briefly?
No, you can't, because we're not dealing with that today, because it's viewpoint today. But thank you for your call in. 952-784-4000. If you've got something that is actually relevant to what we're talking about today. You may have a problem with the situations of goldfish in Bulgaria or the hamster problem in Hong Kong, but we're not talking about that today. We're talking about the news that is taking. That's the whole point of Viewpoints. So please, if you've got something relevant to add to the conversation and not on your own agenda about what you think we should be doing, I don't know, in Alaska, then I'd be glad to hear from you.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio@tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
Viewpoint
with Giles Brown.
And delighted to welcome on our first guest of Viewpoint today, Andres Gallardo. Andres, good morning to you.
Good morning, Giles. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Always giving us an up-to-date Spanish viewpoint. Well, we certainly... were we expecting this bombshell news?
Well, I think it was 2 weeks ago when I said that this was a soap opera developing, and he has proved the case with the news yesterday that the king was to leave the country to protect his son as the king of Spain and the monarchy as an institution. Whether this is the right decision just to leave the country, there's already within 11, 24 hours speculation of where is he. He left the country on Sunday. Some reports say that he's in the Dominican Republic. Some others say that he's in Portugal. The press are going to hound him to see where he lives, what he does, and everything else, so attracting even more attention. The intention is to get out of the way so the current king hasn't got the burden of having his father around. But on the other hand, I think that is in a way a sort of admission of wrongdoing, where he hasn't still been charged, nor in Switzerland nor in Spain. But I expect that in the months to come, a case will be mounted and he may be charged and have to face trial, which will be something terrible for the whole country. It'll be very embarrassing.
Just bring us up to date with what the actual, give me, if you can, a sketch of why he's in this position and what the case is about.
Okay. He received an amount of $100 million from the King of Saudi. Now, this money, there is a question mark whether this was a commission paid for brokering the high-speed train in Saudi Arabia, or it wasn't a commission, it was just a present from king to king. And he just took the money as a present. The problem here is that if he received the present as a head of state, he should have given it to the Spanish government to dispose of that, because he was getting that as a head of state. If he was a present on a personal level, that money should have been declared to the tax authorities, and he should have been paying tax on that, which he didn't, because apparently he created one of these complex companies, sort of trails in Panama and here and there, and the money ended up in Switzerland, and one of those operations of hiding the money. So that's the bulk of it, but there's more. Apparently he was withdrawing something like 5 million euros in cash to have money around. Apparently also he received an apartment in London as a present from another, I think it was United Emirates or one of the Gulf countries, and he received the apartment, put into his name, and then he sold it. Although he sold it at a loss, he pocketed 40 million pounds out of that transaction. So all of these things have been coming up, obviously, and with the admission that he had a personal thing, I suppose. You couldn't blame him for that, but he was having this relationship with this German lady, who was helping him to get all the business all the business sort of going in terms of the commissions paid and all of those things. So this is the bulk of it. It's all very, very embarrassing, because let's not forget that what the king did when he first took power from Franco, when he took power from Franco, he had absolute power. He could have been another dictator like Franco was before.
Yeah.
But he used the absolute power that he had to lose the power and to turn Spain into a democracy and a modern country. And only for that, he should have been remembered for one of the best kings ever in Spain, because he's brought a period of stability, a period of economic growth. We are a reference as a democracy around the world, members of the European Union, members of NATO. So his job is remarkable. And I'd recommend your listeners, there's a biography by Paul Preston on Juan Carlos.
Yeah.
And you learn a lot of what he did. He was an incredible character. I remember when I was in the UK, that was the year when the Queen said there was the Annus Horribilis, had a really bad year. I think it was a year when Windsor Castle...
That was the Annus Horribilis, yeah.
That's right. I remember the monarchy in had a little bit of a bad press at the time and everything. And I remember saying in those days, the monarchy in the UK should be copying King Juan Carlos, because everyone loves him in Spain. And that was true.
Yeah.
And to see the situation now is really sad, because it should have been going into the history books as someone who has succeeded brilliantly.
I mean,
instead, people have very short memories, and people only remember the cases of corruption and so on.
If you think about the way that, you know, there are several standout moments, but obviously when he went on live TV in the uniform, to crush the coup that was happening, because the people who threw the coup, the generals, thought that the king was going to be behind them, and he went and he got on the phone and he spoke to each and every individual general and demand their loyalty. That's an outstanding, and at that point it would have been, you think it could have been quite easy for him to say, okay, I'll go with that. He might have been fearing for his life. But also, if you think about, you know, Spain in the 80s, you know, when some of us came over here, and then, you know, that you talk about Annus Horribilis, but you talk about an Annus Glorious, if you like, which was 92, which was the Olympics, which was the Expo, and the sight of Felipe, the young prince, leading the Spanish team in Barcelona with the flag, and the king being there, you know, when the Spanish guy, whose name escapes me, won the 1,500 meters, and the elation, you know, if there was ever, and you know, everything that was good about and golden about Spain in that 80s to 90s period was embodied by the royal family at that point.
That is correct. You've explained it very well. That is correct. Also, let's not forget that he worked very hard to get the Olympics in Barcelona before the event, when they're bidding the different cities and everything. He had a hand in pushing for Barcelona to be the city to hold the Olympics. It was a reference around the world. Also, some businessmen on the top companies, they used to say he's the best diplomat that we have, because when we travel with the king, he manages situations very, very well, and he sells Spain very well.
Mm. His relationship with the Middle East, especially the Saudis. I mean, I remember him coming to the Fayed's Palace, because, you know, it was that important. The investment of Saudi money as well into Spain in the 70s and 80s, and, you know, the Kuwaitis as well, was also, I mean, they didn't even want to talk about, you know, the World Cup in 82, but it was very, very, it helped shape Spain as well.
He exercised that relationship very early on. In 1973, when Franco was ill and he had to take power temporarily, there was the oil crisis in the world. As a result of Yom Kippur War and everything else, as you probably remember. But Spain didn't suffer that recession too bad.
I was only five in 73, by the way, so don't get too carried away, Andres.
I may sound like as old as time, but I was in fact five at the time. Thank you.
Yeah, but I mean, we had supply of petrol from them from the Saudis, and there was a negotiation from that short period of time where he took over the head of state. So he has done brilliant things.
Yeah.
But unfortunately now, how can you whitening this situation? I mean, it looks terrible. I mean, I'm not angry. I'm sad.
Yeah, I've got a caller on the line. I just want to bring a caller on the line just 1 second. Morning, caller, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Hello, buenos dias. It's Marlene in Calpe.
Yes, Marlene.
Yeah, talking about Juan Carlos.
Yeah.
I came to Spain when Franco was in power.
Right.
And so I've lived it all. And I remember the years when he died and the monarchy came back. And there was this young man who everybody was looking forward to and cared about. And he did some good things in the beginning. And we were all hoping, and Spain was in at that particular time as well, where they were all hoping as well, a new beginning. Yes, it was a wonderful time. And now it's so sad. I feel so sad that's happened. I don't particularly feel so sorry for him the last years.
Right.
Because he did some silly and stupid things. But one feels sad that it's happened. And I'm sorry for all of us who cared and for Spain.
Thank you very much for your call in there, Marlene. Lovely to hear from you again. 952-78-4000. Yeah, there's that feeling, I suppose, of that it should end like this. And what are the political parties being seen? Because, you know, I've heard that, and I only caught this on the way in, you know, with one ear, you know, on the radio and the other on the road, if that makes any sense whatsoever. But has there been some sort of... So Partido Popular, Ciudadanos and PSA have all put out a statement, and Moncloa's put out a statement as well. And as you might expect, Podemos have said either nothing or they've come up with the alternative controversial view.
Look, Podemos and the nationalist parties are in Catalonia and Basque Country and so on. They're already claiming that it should be a republic and do away with the monarchy and everything else. Look, the solution, whether it's a monarchy or a republic, that's not the issue. The problem is that it's a country where corruption is a problem at many different levels, you know, from local councils to the head of state. So this is what we need to sort out. The corruption doesn't happen to this scale. And they're already claiming they want a republic and they want him tried and they want, you know, cut his head and roll it down the road.
Right.
But you would expect that from Podemos because they're radicals and they are... The problem is that now they are in parliament and they are in government. Pablo Iglesias is the vice president of the government, you know. And for him to be tweeting, you know, do away with the monarchy and this is, you know, she's escaping justice, which is not the case at all. Because first, he hasn't been charged, and secondly, his lawyer yesterday said he'll be available for any inquiries they want to make with him in terms of following the justice system.
Right.
So you would expect that. Now, the main parties have, what they want to do is sort of separate the two figures, the father and son, saying, you know, protecting the son's position, saying, well, he hasn't done anything wrong, and he's doing a good job. And that's where they're at the moment. Trying to protect the figure of Felipe and let Juan Carlos just get out of the way and just hide him away. But
got a caller on the line, Andrew. Just 1 more second, please. Morning, caller, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Yeah, good morning to Andreas. Sharon from Alicante.
Morning,
Giles as well. Hello. I tend to agree with you. I tend to agree with everything you said, really, this morning. But what do you think? What does the PP think should happen? I would think he can't be allowed to get off scot-free. Would this exile be a good compromise, do you think? I'll hang up and listen to what you say. Thank you.
Thanks for the call in, Sharon. Andreas, I mean, he's still going to be facing charges.
Sharon is assuming that I'm a PP supporter or something like that, which I'm not as such. But anyway, what do they think it should happen? I mean, the Conservative Party is saying basically that... He is a historical figure. His son is doing a good job. in the justice, when the justice talks, then we'll see what they have to say. To be honest, is the balanced way of seeing it, because now we are judging and trying by newspaper reports, you know. We don't know, us mortals, what really happened, and that's where the justice is there to investigate, analyse and see what the crimes have been committed, whether it's a tax fraud or it's overstaying his position or whatever. So we have to wait and see what the justice system says. And in the meantime, there's such thing as a presumption of innocence, you know, which we have forgotten that this is in law. It's an important status. You know, you are innocent until proven guilty. So let's see what happens there. In the meantime, the Conservative Party and El Pessoa as well, if they can keep him away from the limelight and let Felipe do good deeds, that will protect the monarchy in years to come. It's going to be difficult because there's a lot of people out there who don't understand why a king, with all the privileges that that brings, has the need to accumulate such a fortune on the basis of his position. And people are, I can understand it, they're angry, but we have to be a little bit balanced with these things, because the last thing we want is a crisis now on whether we should be a republic or a monarchy in the middle of a pandemic.
This is from Stephen. Stephen Ritson, good morning to you, Stephen. Don't forget, Europe Today will be with us after 12 o'clock. Portuguese TV is reporting that Juan Carlos is in Cascais, which is in Estoril, which is where he grew up, so that sort of makes sense.
Yeah, he grew up in Estoril, yes. He was born in exile, and he was brought into Spain by Franco, who was groomed to become the successor. But he grew up originally in Estoril, and that's what they say he's saying now. But if you read, I mean, La Vanguardia, they say this is in the Dominican Republic, so we don't know for.
And Sofia is staying in Spain. She's still in the royal palace, because they've been living in separate apartments in the palace for a period of time now.
Well, the problem with staying in the palace is the palace is national wealth, so he's taken advantage of el patrimonio del Estado, which is, you know, it's owned by the taxpayer. So on the basis of that, they thought it would be better to move to private accommodation costed by him. And I thought they would find some nice house somewhere in Madrid or somewhere, but they decided to... that he's better off abroad.
Yeah, no, but Sophia is still here. But that's what I'm saying. The queen. Well, she's now the queen mother, I suppose. Can we call it, or the king mother, or whatever we call refer to her.
The king mother, I suppose. Yeah, she lives in Carazuela, which is the palace of the king, and she's currently in Mallorca in the palace of.
Of course, yeah.
On a holiday, so she remains here, and she has been very quiet and very elegant, I have to say, because obviously her situation was a little bit, I suppose she would have been embarrassed because of all the talk of this other lady, Karina.
Some of the WhatsApps coming in on WhatsApp, you can WhatsApp on me, +34 645 99 67 95. This in from Richard, good morning to you, Richard. What's the difference between this and what Pizza Price, I presume that's Priti Patel, did as Britain's special representative for international trade and investment for 10 years until July 2011. The money never entered Spain. Why should it be taxed? That's one of the questions. And also this in from Glynis, good morning. As we all know, corruption is the name of the game in Spain. The problem is greed. So thank you for that, Glynis. For Felipe himself, does this leave him? Is this going to help Felipe VI as he tries? It's a difficult time anyway, economically, politically, socially, and we're in the middle of a pandemic.
It's a difficult time for him to be king, because now he has to clear the name of the institution. They have to do a marketing plan for him to be accepted by Spanish society again as a genuine King doing good deeds and doing his job. And he's going to be very difficult because people tend to rebel when there is an economic downturn. People turn more extremist, if you like. The pandemic also is a problem because it looks as if it's here to stay, at least for a year or maybe even longer. So he's going to have a tough time. It's sorry for him, but that's what it is.
Andreas, I'm just trying to think. Sorry, go on.
Just very quickly, I just wanted to add something a little bit different, which is some figures that came out yesterday from the National Statistics Institute on tourism.
Okay. I think I heard this, yeah.
Yeah, in 2019, in June, we saw in Spain 8.8 million people visiting on the month of June. But let's not forget June. Part of June we were instead of alarm. But the foreign visitors to Spain in June 2020, it went down from 8.8 million to 204. Incredible figures. And the nationalities, you'll be interested to know that UK has dropped to fifth number of visitors.
Yes.
It went from 2019 with 2 million UK visitors in June, and this year we had 8,400.
Quite incredible drop there. We've got a caller on the line, just one second. Good morning, caller, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Morning, Charles.
Morning, Peter, how are you?
I'm good, yeah. I just thought out of Andreas.
You're breaking up, Peter. Can't hear you very well.
I'm in a bad area. Any better?
Yeah, we can't hear you, Peter, on that one. You must be in a valley or something.
Okay, I'll try again.
All right, thanks very much on that one. Sorry, Andreas, you're saying.
Yeah, sorry, yeah. And the end result of all this is that now Spain had to ask the European Union for 20,000 million euros to be able to afford the payments to the temporary unemployment payments and help to the self-employed. And that of the pot from the European Union, apparently there's 100,000 million. So other countries will also ask money to that particular pot, and whether they'll be able to give us what we need to cover those payments. We'll have to wait and see. But from the economic point of view, it doesn't look very good either.
And I think we've got him back on the line. Morning, Peter. Can we hear you now?
Morning. Is that better?
Yeah, it's better. Thank you.
Yeah, excuse me. Picard is down in the valley, and they make a hell of a racket this time of year. Andreas, ¿te acuerdas about the rey El Bidón?
Sorry, I didn't hear that.
¿Te acuerdas el barco del rey El Bidón?
Yes, the Fortuna. The Fortuna, yes.
Yeah. Funny story here, because he called it El Bidón, and I believe in Spanish El Bidón means like a rogue, a rascal. So,
I can tell you the story of the yacht.
Quick story before you tell your story. A quick story here. I collect antique watches, and I bought a watch a few years ago, and it's the Brailing Emergency. And on the face of the watch, it's on the dial of the watch, it has El Bribon. And it came when the king won the Barcelona yacht race, the crew were all getting a watch with a commemorative coin. And there's only 10 in the world. One of them came up for sale, and I got it a few years ago, and I was speaking to a watchmaker friend of mine the other day, and he seems to think it will be going up in value purely because he called it El Bribon, and now the whole role he's being hung out to dry there is because he is at his El Bribon. So what a funny story there. So what do you think?
Yeah, no, I think El Bribon, I might be wrong with this, and I need to look it up, but I think El Bribon was his a yacht for the racing yacht.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, but there was a story of a pleasure yacht, that it was a present from the Saudis, and he would enjoy that yacht during the summer. There was a present that they sent it to him in 1979. And eventually, what he did is took it off his name and gave it to the state to be the owners of the boat, because it was pointed out to him that he couldn't receive, as a head of a state, a present of a yacht from some foreigner. So that was put in the name of the state. And I don't know what happened to that yacht. I think it's not in circulation anymore.
It's been decommissioned, the same as the Royal Yacht Britannia. But at some stage, it must have been called Albert Ebon. It was raised as Albert Ebon.
I remember that as well, Peter, indeed. Peter, thanks for your call in, my friend.
Okay,
get a nice watch through as well. And is this just in? This has just been sent to me. And thank you again, Richard. Adam Parsons has tweeted, Spanish far-right Vox Party says Sanchez government is using the Juan Carlos scandal as a diversion from its quote-unquote criminal management of the pandemic and its own corruption. Su corrupciones y delitos. So that's Vox's take on the whole thing.
Well, I mean, Vox and Podemos are practically the same thing. They're just extreme.
I can feel a lot of people throwing stuff at the wireless on both sides of the spectrum. They're saying that, Andres. But anyway, go on.
No, I mean, they're the populist parties. You know, they have a discurso that is just to enrage people. You know, one from the right, the other one from the left. But they're practically the same. I wouldn't listen too much to what Vox has to say.
Right.
I don't listen to them.
Anyway.
Not Podemos, you know.
Yeah. What do you think? I mean, I think the press are going to be the Spanish press and the Prince de Rosas will be hunting down the Eremita's king, and there's probably a lot of scandal about, I can't even remember her name now, his special friend. So it's going to be an interesting couple of weeks or an interesting couple of days in the Spanish press.
Yes, it will be. The most interesting bit will come out when the courts decide to take action and see what action they take, whether he has to sit on the bench in front of the judge or whether he has to be extradited to Switzerland, or all of those things, all of the question marks of how they're going to manage all these in the courts in the future. So that'll be interesting. So this soap opera hasn't finished yet.
And this in finally from Ray and Murthy, time to go back to being a republic. Yes, Juan Carlos helped Spain move away from the dictatorship of Franco, but what use is the royal family now?
Well, you need a head of state. It doesn't matter whether he's a president of the republic or he's a king. They have practically no executive or legislative power. So you just need a head of state. I mean, you want to have someone useful in terms of diplomacy and,
yeah,
and foreign relations and that sort of thing. King can do it. If he's a good king, can do a good job. Look at the Queen of England. She's brilliant at that.
Let's not go down that route. Andres Gallardo, as always, thank you so much for speaking to us today, giving us more of a clear picture of what is going on and some great historical background as well. As always, my friend, great to speak to you.
Thank you, Giles. Speak soon.
Viewpoint with Giles Brown.
And if you want to get in touch with Viewpoint today, here are the numbers.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio@tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
Delighted to welcome onto the show, Rosalind Scott. Good morning to you, Rosalind.
Good morning, Giles. I've been listening to this poor, disgraceful downfall of Juan Carlos. I suppose it's not a big surprise, but maybe the, we don't know all the details, and that'll be very colourful, no doubt coming out probably over the next few months, who knows, or at least the next few weeks. But 100 million is a lot of money, you know, so it's... It's more the quantity that's probably a kind of disgusting, really.
Yeah, I mean...
Unnecessary greed.
I mean, there's a whole thing about that being also in a Swiss bank account, you know, the long-time friend, quote-unquote. This bank account in the Bahamas as well. It's all a bit murky and a bit sort of, yeah. When you think about, as I was saying with Andres later, you heard about the whole thing that he stood for and democracy and you... And I know that you were here in the early 80s as well, and that whole vitality, you know, behind Spain. And then, you know, he was, you know, Juan Carlos was basically untouchable.
Yeah, I mean, it really, it's just sad, as everybody has, I agree. It's so sad. It's just very, very sad. Well, I think do we want to talk about that? Or
no, whatever's on your mind, Ros, I think, is the general idea. And well, you've got 12 minutes. Just Richard has said 100 million is chump change. Well, obviously, you've got a big more change than I have, Richard, but thank you very much for the message there. Right then.
I suppose one thing, I'm quite astounded at it seems the quantity of people rebelling against taking three simple steps, one, wearing a mask, keeping your hands clean, keeping a distance, and how it just seems to be all falling apart quite widely around the world, that people aren't able to just keep this up, you know, and it's very worrying. And I know it's easy. It's much easier to destroy than to create. And all these conspiracy theories, I can't believe how kind of naive or gullible, in my opinion, I think that this huge number of people are, and how they listen to all the lies of Trump and don't see through it. It's most disconcerting. But the fact that people are not able to adapt, that not willing to adapt to, as I say, the situation we're in, to see it clearly and just adapt, just change your lifestyle. I mean, the one thing, even 25 years ago, I was writing about the rate of change is increasing at an ever-increasing rate. That's one of the only things we have known for sure for quite some time. And yet, people don't seem to be willing to adapt to the necessary changes at the moment.
But a lot of people think that there's some ulterior motive behind this whole change. They think that it's obviously it's part of some sort of thing to keep us regulated, to keep us down, Roz.
I know, but that's just naive. That's just silly. I mean, any thinking person just has to do a little bit of research to see through these things. I can't believe
these people are saying they are doing research, because they're going, you know, they're going on to, they're reading alternative facts on the on the internet, and they're you're giving me a dismissive yes, Roz.
Well, this is the thing. Once you go down that conspiracy route, which is easy to find, I mean, it's Fox News, it's Trump, it's once you go there, you stop reading the true press, what's really going on. I mean, there's enough in the real press to keep one kind of on your toes to choose what is factual.
Yeah, well, some would call it real press, and some would call it mainstream media, Roz.
Well, mainstream media. Okay, whichever. I mean, I choose to follow that, and then I choose what I consider the most accurate reporting and the most professional people. I mean, you know, as soon as you start saying doctors don't know what they're talking about, scientists, you can't believe the word a scientist is saying, journalists are all lying, as soon as you go down that, you're lost and gone forever.
If you've been following stuff in the UK as well, we seem to be getting these sort of three-word slogans that, you know, stay safe, wash hands, keep space. It all seems very, very vague.
Well, I don't think it's vague at all. I think it's very down-to-earth true. I mean, besides, what can you lose by wearing the mask? It's just common sense. Wash your hands. I wash my hands about every 20 minutes. I mean, I always wash my hands a lot anyway, but now I just make a conscious effort and keep a distance. And, I mean, because we can see that people are saying, oh, enough of this. I'm going to go out and have a party with all my friends. And then it blows up again. And this is just going to keep spiraling along indefinitely. I mean, even when they come in with a vaccine, if 30 or 40% of the American population, for a start, won't take the vaccine, it's not going to work anyway.
Well, I mean, the vaccine thing is just another, because obviously there has been an anti-vaccine movement before the pandemic. Get your live to the lines, Roz. Morning, Cooley, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
It's John Dodd.
Yes, John.
We're getting round to this lady speaking. She's going to mention masks next. And this is the most ridiculous request. That's why the government is not exactly... I never wear a mask.
Right. Why don't you wear a mask? Because you, excuse me for being so, but you would be in, they would say, in an at-risk category because of your, because you're over 50.
Yeah. Well, the, don't tell that. No, no, the thing is, it's all well and good, but the thing is, if you've just got to think, and I'm sure you've already thought it out, and I'm sure Anna Murray has, and Selena McKenzie, I can't see them wearing masks other than it, that they've got to, because it's a law or something, but it's not a law. And incidentally, what is going to happen to the old mask? You've got to have billions of them picked up and incinerated immediately. No one's ever thought about that, because there are people got walking around with whatever it is they're supposed to be suffering with that are not, they're carriers, and they always will be. And the thing is, that's not going to stop their snot or whatever it is they're gonna, if someone else is going to pick up or something. It's the most ridiculous thing. I think the government, they closed the cafes, they did this, they did that. They're just messing around in the dark. And the point is...
Okay. Well, that's okay. I know it's difficult for the Western world to accept something new like wearing a mask, but the reason... Taiwan, for a start, I know it's a small country, but South Korea had no cases at all, or four cases, is because they're used to wearing these masks.
Well, you're Japanese, yeah. I mean, I know the Japanese have been wearing them for a while. I mean, South Korea had a spike.
Well,
yeah. So, I mean, there was a spike again in cases in South Korea, perhaps because they opened up a little bit too quickly. But yeah, I mean,
but we're talking about four or five cases. You know, it's nothing in comparison to the United States and well, England actually.
Yeah, John. Sorry?
This virus has never been isolated. It's never been proven. So there's no cases because it's not been proven. It doesn't exist, okay? People are getting a bad flu this year. If you look at the numbers are the same as every year. And I'm sure in Korea you've got lots of flu and colds, okay?
I think that's... If you get to...
To the scientists. If you just listen to the people who have been working in this for 20 years, I mean, why does the average Joe public think they know better than specialist scientists?
Because the average Joe public can inform themselves via the wonders of the internet, Roz.
Yeah, right, by false news. And the errors also, I mean, it has been a big mistake. Trump and Johnson have proved to be totally ineffectual, whereas, of course, a lot of, like New Zealand, the countries where they really took it in hand and looked after it have survived much better. It's the dithering around of Johnson and Trump, who everything has to be political. And but one good thing. I'm very concerned about children going back to school. I'm concerned for the teachers and the staff and the children, and then the families at home. And Trump, for example, in the States, get them all back to school. Yes, yes, yes. But his own son, who goes to a private school, is not supposed to go until October anyway, and then they'll rethink it. But it was just on the news this morning that a lot of all over the States, groups of mothers are getting together and just having school rooms set
right.
up, one teacher and maybe 10 students. Well, that's better than the children being stuck at home, but it's also better than opening up all these schools and spreading the virus again.
Getting live to the lines again. Good morning, Cooley, live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Oh, hi, it's John from Los Angeles.
Oh, morning, John.
Morning to you, matey. As I say, we're talking about follow the scientists. We've had our environmental scientists have never got a prediction right in 30 years. And which scientist do you believe is regarding this pandemic? I mean, there's been different scientists.
No,
totally respectful different scientists. Let me just finish, Roslyn. Different scientists. Some say it's all a lot of nonsense. Some say it's, and they're very high-powered and intelligent guys. So who do you believe? The same as the journalists. Who do you believe?
Well, you check your facts.
Fauci... Well, you don't know what the facts are, Rosalind. Neither do I.
Well, Dr. Fauci has been running these epidemics, looking after them, researching them for 30 years, I think. So I would trust him.
and so have many others who have the opposite feel and don't feel the same way. So I think the general public is, rather like myself, very confused what to believe and who to believe, if anybody at all, in fact, you know, because we just don't know. I mean, I'm here in Spain, and I do follow the masks, and you soon get used to it. I can't understand why people don't. It just seems ridiculous. But as I say, at the moment, what we've had in the last almost 5 to 10 years is contrarian opinions getting worse and worse and worse from whichever side they're on. And so effectively, nobody can believe one thing or t'other.
Well, okay.
Thanks for your call. Thanks for your call in there, John. Always good to hear from you, as always. 95, if you want to get involved with the show, here are the numbers. If you get involved with the show, here are the numbers.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio@tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
Going live to the lines again. I'm with Ros and Scott Gibb at the moment. Good morning, caller, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Kate Costa-Blanca.
Morning, Kate.
John Dogs is talking a load of rubbish. I mean, sorry, I don't mean always, but I'm just saying specifically this morning, okay? He says sweeping generalisations, and I would like him to list all the scientists with their qualifications and, you know, their professional status who are denying that there is anything in this virus. Because he's just waffling. And there is a... I would say 99.999% of scientists believe this is a serious pandemic.
Well, the abrupt lady who was at the end of John Dodge's phone line, who I didn't actually know was on the line, just claimed quickly that it was all a bad case of flu and put the phone down.
Yeah, well, exactly. But there was...
I want to say also that what Ros was saying right at the beginning of her bit was very good, and I'm just surprised that not many... good sense seems in short supply, so keep it up, Ros.
Thank you, Kate.
Thanks for your call in there, Kate. Ros, we're going to run out of time, so just some final thoughts, please.
Okay, just that there was this spree of supposed doctors all through that Trump again quoted, and this woman doctor, she's on there giving time, saying you know, women are getting pregnant through space.
I think it was demon. I think it was intercourse with demons, Ros. Should we leave it on that with 20 seconds to go, Ros?
Yes, okay.
Good to hear from you as well, Rosalind. Ros and Scott Gibb.
People should use their common sense.
Absolutely. For one moment, okay. Then I wonder what you're going to say then. But there you go. Ros and Scott Gibb, thanks very much. International and national news up next.
Discuss, challenge, inform, comment, viewpoint on Talk Radio Europe.
Giles Brown.
Live comment and discussion with studio guests.
Viewpoint.
Always live, always lively here with you until 12 o'clock today. And then Stephen Ritson with us with Europe Today. If you wish to get involved with today's show, here are the numbers.
To contact TRE, please call 952 78 4000. Email studio@tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
And we go live to the lines. Good morning, caller. You're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Oh, hello. It's Bert Lancaster here from Sweden.
Good morning to you.
Telephoning for my finca. In 2002, my wife and I was anchored in Bay of Boqueron in Dominican Republic. That is coming up now, and about the king and that. And I would like to say that it's a wonderful country. It used to belong to Denmark. I'm Swedish, but it used to belong to Denmark. Sweden also used to have some islands down there. So,
okay.
But anyway, it's a very, very good climate. It's a beautiful country. We traveled around there during 3 months extensively, like we did all over the world. And And the people are sort of different down there. There's hardly any criminality, and it's clean and it's nice and friendly and good restaurants and so. And we heard at that time about that. We never visited the place, but we heard about there was an area where lots of famous people from all over the world, wealthy people, used to have a second home or retired completely there. I would just like to tell a little bit about what the place is.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks very much for that. There you go then. A little bit of where the Juan Carlos the First, the Eremitas King, may have gone to, but it seems to be Cascais in Portugal. It would seem to be the place. Looking at some of the WhatsApps that have come in, heads of states should be elected and made accountable for what they do. Arise, King Boris the First. Also, this one in. So, since Trump, or his spokesperson, coined the phrase alternative truth or alternative facts, first time with claims about the attendance at the inauguration, so on day one of his administration, people think lying is an acceptable way of going about things. Thank you for that. And there is nothing common about common sense. Thank you very much for those who want to get involved with the show.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio@tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
And good morning to Steve, and good morning to Robert, and good morning to Talia, and Michelle, and Kevin, who are listening and saying hello on the Facebook group. We've got a call on the line. Morning, call you live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Good morning, Giles. It's Ken from NACA.
Morning, Ken.
I have been absolutely appalled at some of the comments coming to your show today.
Right.
Let's bring back a republic. Hang on a minute. Go and tell the Basque and the people of Guernica, you know, where Hitler was allowed to practice killing people with his aeroplanes. You know, and how many graves are they still digging up? And this other thing, which expert do you believe? Well, talk to the parents that ignored the MRM. What happened to a lot of their children?
Right.
Why can't they learn from the simple book in the world, history?
Ken, thank you very much for your call in there. 952-78-4000 is the phone number. studio@tre.radio is the email.
Thank you very much,
thank
Charles.
You, thank you, Ken. Have a good day up there in Nerka.
You too.
All right, Bye. Take care. There you go. 952-78-4000 is the phone number. Going to be speaking with Alf Brewer in a little while. Always good to get his viewpoints with what is going on. 952-78-4000, the phone number. studio@tre. We've got another call on the line. Good morning, call you live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Hi, my name's Susie Dodd. I'm John Dodd's daughter.
Hi, Susie. You're live on TRE.
Hi there. Hey, listen, hey. I was just calling to, because my dad actually does digress a little bit, okay,
right,
with regard to health and stuff. Basically, what you all need to understand is viruses are in everybody's bodies, okay? Viruses act in a certain way depending on how everybody's body is. It's actually not the germ theory that Louis Pasteur has got all the doctors these days studying upon. It was actually the scientist Antoine Bouchamp who was right in the end. Now, sick people will get sick. Sick people will die. My dad himself, he's nearly 88 years old. He had pneumonia this January, okay? He stayed at home, right? We got the antibiotics, but he stayed at home. Now, he does green juices religiously every day. He follows an organic diet. He avoids dairy products, he avoids bread, he avoids cakes, biscuits, alcohol, cigarettes, okay? And he is out and about now shopping.
Right.
Now, it's all well and good people sitting back saying, oh, you know, he speaks a load of crap. I mean, basically, what would you prefer, that he was in an old people's home?
I wouldn't say that at all.
But all I'm saying is, yeah, we are speaking from experience,
right,
okay? Our experience is that if you keep healthy, you stay healthy.
Right.
And that's not what the World Health Organization, and it's not what the Big Pharma and all the doctors want us to think. There are some doctors that innocently, because their university degree studies are all based around this germ theory, they've got it all wrong and back to front, okay?
Yeah.
Now, I'm not going to listen to a Korean lady saying that in Korea things are much better because they wear masks, right? In Korea, they're allowed to say what they're allowed to say.
We don't know what they've had over there. We don't know how many people have been over there. But wearing masks is wrong. It goes totally against nature. My dad does not wear a mask. I do not wear a mask. It's against my civil human rights to wear a mask, and it will make me sick to wear a mask. And it will also make you sick to lock you down in your home.
So how are you... I mean, I'm not playing devil's advocate here, but how are you getting out and about then at the moment if you're not wearing a mask?
I've got a bit of paper in my bag. I actually belong to an association that are legally getting lawyers together to take all these criminals to court. Because one day, sooner or later, people are going to realise what they've done. And what they're doing, they've taken a flu and a virus that happens every year. A virus is the body's way of cleaning itself on a yearly basis, okay? It's not transmittable through spit or crap that they tell us, okay?
Right, okay?
Basically, it just happens to our bodies. Like a woman has a period every month, we get flu and cold viruses every year if our body is overly toxic.
Agreed.
Now, depending how toxic your body is, you will get very sick, not so sick, or you may even die. And the older you are, normally because you're on a lot of medication, which my father isn't, we managed to get off all of medications that the doctors were giving him, you will live longer if you are healthy. Sorry, the radio sort of repeats in the
yeah,
background.
Sure. Well, you said,
okay,
well, because of, I think if you've got the radio on in the background, I think it will come back as
yeah,
a slight
delay.
Yeah,
basically, what annoys me so much is I know you're only doing your job, but I never listen to the radio or the television because all you are is propagating this whole big lie. Okay. Now, I'm not saying that people are getting sick. I'm not saying that people are dying. But if you look at the figures every year, it is not much more than what die every year. Okay. So why should we be locked in? We're going to be locked in. I work in real estate. I'm doing a lot less business than I should be doing. Are you going to pay my rent, my mortgage? Are you going to pay my car payment? You know, in a few months' time, people have got no idea. The consequences of what they're doing to us is going to totally destroy us. I mean, personally, people are going to call me a conspiracy theorist. I think they're trying to get rid of a lot of us, to be honest, because they feel we're overpopulated. But obviously, that's another rabbit hole.
That's another rabbit hole.
Okay?
Yeah.
But obviously, they're making everybody totally shit themselves, okay, so they'll be queuing up for this vaccine. I got sick from a flu vaccine 15 years ago, all right? I nearly ended up with lupus and died, okay? But fortunately, I went away from doctors, and I learned what I know now. And I would no way let them put any of that in my body. And I really feel sorry that most people are just ignorant and just listen to the television, radio, newspaper that do not tell us the truth.
Okay.
History isn't even the truth. I mean, that gentleman that spoke before, I totally respect what he says about history. But how much of history is true? How do you know it's true? Yeah, you read it in a book. You were taught it at school. But a lot of it, I'm afraid, has been manipulated. And it's the truth of the winners, not the losers. Okay, so maybe when the history books are written in a few years from now, they'll just say that we're a load of irresponsible, germ-filled people. How dare they? How dare they? It's not our fault that people are getting sick. It's not my fault. I'm healthy. Let me get out to work. Let me carry on with my life.
Thank you.
My mother died last year. I wouldn't have expected anybody to stay in. My dad had pneumonia this year, like I say. I wouldn't have expected anyone to stay in. And anyway, that's why I was so abrupt earlier. But I don't want some Korean telling me that Korea's better off for wearing masks. That, to me, is just propagating this whole lie.
Well, listen, I'm really. Thank you very much for calling back and making your points, because you obviously feel very passionate about that. So thank you very much.
Have a good day. All right,
take care.
Well.
There you go. All sorts of viewpoints here on Viewpoint. That's how he got his name. If you want to get hold of me, this is the number.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
And we'll go live to the lines. Thank you for your call in there. That certainly set the lines alight. Morning, call, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
I'm Kate Custer-Blanker.
Yes, Kate.
You're on your last caller's views. One, I respect her right to be wrong. She's been stating that this whole lot is an absolute lie and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and recommending that people don't wear some masks. I think that she is wrong and she may be a danger to other people.
Well, I mean, she's not going out, how do you mean she might be...
Yeah, but I mean, the point is that everyone's talking... When people are talking about anti-masks and anti-lockdown, they're always talking about my inalienable right to do what I like. And the quick answer to that is, has anyone got an inalienable right to wrong
drive up the wrong way.
Well, the line has always been, it's my body, I know what's best for me, you don't give me a vaccine, you don't make me wear a mask, I know my body better than anybody else. That's the argument.
Yes, and I think it's quite a dangerous argument. There's a bigger issue, and you could have a whole... You know, have a whole program on just this issue.
Yeah, exactly.
Not necessarily tying it to the COVID.
Well,
but the point is that there is the aspect of what your freedom may be doing to other people.
Yeah. I've got more calls coming in, as you might imagine, so thanks very much for that. Kate, morning, call you live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Yeah, good morning, Sharon Ali Khan.
Morning, Sharon.
Morning. I really don't know where to start. I would love to know that lady's qualifications are, because I think you need some kind of...
She's educated herself. She said she's educated herself on this one.
Right, okay. Three or four studies have been done. Firstly, on the excess deaths, on the not many people have died in comparison to a normal year. Not true. There's studies been done by, I think, UCL Imperial College and one of the top universities in America. I know I'm going to be shouted down at this because they're all in it together. They're all conniving against us. And all of those studies, each of those, and I think one in Spain as well, showed quite broad studies, actually, random studies, showed that over a period of time, all the qualities for a good study. Each of those studies showed that the number of deaths has gone up, that COVID is reaching far more people than has been anticipated or been a lot of people like her are saying. I've been on quite a long journey on this conspiracy stuff. I started believing a lot of it in 2000 and or the late 2000s, went with it, and I still believe a lot of it. I still tend to go along with some of it, the International Monetary System for a start and all this. But I've also worked in, I'll be very quick, sorry, I've also worked in a PATH lab for a short period in my life. I worked as a lab assistant in a microbiology a virology lab, and I learned enough there with my A-level biology as well to know that this is a pandemic. When an issue comes along, I look at it as an individual thing. I don't say it's all conspiracy, they're all against us. I take each individual issue as it comes, and I can assure that lady that it really is. This is a pandemic, it's highly contagious, and I think we have to this time, just for once, believe the experts.
Thanks for that, Sharon. Morning, call you live on TRE. What's your name? Thank you for holding. Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Oh, hello, it's Nina.
Hi, Nina.
Just in order to counteract the conspiracy theories, why don't you ask anyone to phone in that knows somebody that has had this virus? Because I don't know.
I know somebody who's had the virus, Nina, and I know a very good friend of mine who almost died from it. Yeah, we've said this several times before. Okay, but thank you for your... Yeah?
Okay, thank you for telling me that. Yeah. I appreciate that.
That's all right.
Thank you.
All right, then. 952-784-1000. Morning, call you live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Giles, it's Rosalind again. I just wanted to say, John Dodd's daughter, what do we know what's going on in Korea? I speak to students every day in South Korea, Taiwan, China, all over the world, Brazil. I'm speaking to these various people, all different people. Just to answer her question. Thank you. Bye.
Thanks very much indeed. Morning, call you live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Hi, this is Susie again. I just thought, just to go back to those callers, they didn't listen to a word that I said. Maybe I get too carried away. And I think you should... Friends who've died from it and people who've nearly died from it, right? If my dad had been tested with a stupid PCR test when he had pneumonia this year, they probably said he had it as well, right? COVID-19 or whatever you want to call it has never been proven. It's never been isolated with the cost postulate scientific procedure. Okay, now all these people saying where I get my facts from, I've read up on it a lot, because I actually lost somebody very dear to me with the HIV lie.
Right.
Also, he was told he had HIV, took medication for HIV for 2 years, which killed him. It gave him mental illness and totally destroyed him, the actual thought that he had something that he could never get rid of. I took him to an alternative doctor, and he actually had a lot of health problems, but it wasn't uncurable, okay? The more health problems he had in the end was because of the medication for the HIV. All I'm saying is, how can you, and how can anybody be saying, I know somebody, they tested positive. Positive for what? This test doesn't prove that someone's got COVID-19. COVID-19 hasn't been proven, the same as HIV. Now they're going to sound a conspiracy theorist. No, they're facts. Actual facts that we are being manipulated with. We are being told, and the actual fact that if you tell somebody they've got something they're going to die from, they will die. because your body listens to your brain. Every cell in your body listens to your brain. Okay. Right? So everybody now listening that there's a virus around that you're going to get sick, more people are going to get sick. You're going to see it.
Okay.
And also, I'm not going to start to mention the toxic environment we live in, but people need to wake up and stop calling people like me conspiracy theorists, because I'm trying to share my own truth. This is truth, stuff I've discovered over the last 15 years. And I feel very sorry for people like you who think that your loved ones have died of COVID. You know, I was led to believe my brother died of HIV. He did not. Okay, he did not. But he was felt to feel like a dirty, nasty human being for contracting this disgusting disease, which he didn't have.
Right, okay?
Because HIV test is exactly the same as a COVID test, I will have you add. It just proves that you're having an immune response. You could have been out on the piss, right, and you'll get a positive response.
I've
right?
got quite a few calls in coming in now, okay. So. But thank you for your call back anyway.
Right. 952-784-1000.
Morning, call you live on TRE.
Bonjour, Peter.
Hello, Peter.
Hello. Did you say Susie Dot, Sue Dot, Susie Dot?
Yeah, Peter, can you get a clear signal? I'd love to hear from you, mate. Yeah, but it's sounding a bit dodgy at the moment.
Sorry?
Exactly. The signal's not very clear at the moment.
Oh, okay. Right. Susie, the caller on...
Before. Yeah, John Dodge's daughter.
Yes. Fair play to her. I really think she's all right. She's passionate about what she believes in, and we should have a lot more of that. I get labelled Mr. Angry for that. She'll probably be labelled Mrs. Angry now. But obviously, the lady has done a lot of research. She's very passionate and believes in what she believes in. And for Kate to say something like her right to be wrong, I've never heard anything more condescending on this show, to say her right to be wrong. Who's Kate to say she's wrong? Sharon says she has an A-level in biology. So do I. And I disagree with Sharon 100%. But I have an A-level in biology.
Peter, I can hardly hear you, mate. Sorry, can you call? You have to get a clearer signal on this one. But sorry, it's really hard to hear you, buddy. But thank you for the call in. I'm going to take a quick break and then some more Viewpoint.
Viewpoint with Giles Brown.
More lively than normal today. Right then, delighted to welcome onto the show. He's been on for a while. Alf Brewer, Alf, good morning to you.
Hello, Giles. Nice to talk to you again.
Good to have you back with us.
After my 2 weeks in quiet Portugal.
It was quiet until the King of Spain, or the ex-King of Spain, went over there yesterday. Anyway, but there you go,
well,
allegedly.
Might get busier now then.
Right then.
Lots of reporters going there looking for him.
Now, in the meantime, did you take that sort of 2 weeks to look at what was going on in the world? What's your thoughts on where we are at the moment as relates to quite a few things have been happening?
Well, on this morning's programme, it always amazes me when people say, who would have ever thought that a royal could be corrupt? Who ever thought that? That's really weird, that is. And who would have thought that a senior MP like Liam Fox would be stupid enough to carry government papers around on a personal bleeding computer that somebody could hack into? Where do these people come from? They are unbelievable. One of the issues today, which always attracts me, is why can't people learn from history? And somebody rang in and quite rightly said, because it depends where you get your history from.
Right.
If you go to a history book and read it, and I had this conversation with my two Spanish compatriots who come on the show with us, and I said that part of the problem of the Spanish Civil War, which is what I'd read in a book about Spanish history, was about the anarchists. And they were real, no, it wasn't that, wasn't this. And all I could do was refer to a book that I'd read. How accurate it was, I have no idea. However, we all go through our own history, but we never, ever learn, even from our own history. And I dare say, most of the books that are written about the First World War, I mean, I'd never read about the Spanish flu as part of the First World War. And yet, that's where most of it was contracted.
Right.
It's where the American troops took it back to America and all around the world. And I knew absolutely nothing about it, because unless you're told... So history is important, but it's got to be correct history. And remember, most history books that go back beyond about 1800 are probably false anyway.
Well... As a student of history, Alf, I mean, Hang on, I'm just trying to get my brain together. Hold on a second.
Was Anne Boleyn a real person?
Was Anne Boleyn a real person? Or was Lady... Was Lady... You can kill people with her thoughts, you know. I could kill Catering with a thought. No, yeah. You know, so Lady Jane Grey, no, that's a hell of a selfie. No,
absolutely.
No, right, so... I get the point about history is always written by the winners, but what you have to do is to get a decent idea of what's going historically is to collate different reference points, and you can't say everybody's right from the same point. If you collate from 8, 9, 10 different sources, then you've got a fair guess at it or a fair stab at it, Alf.
Yes, Charles, but unless you're a history student, 99.9% of the population will read a book.
Sure.
Very rarely would anybody read two. I mean, I've read lots of books about the Second World War, and I've just read a complete thing about the Cold War. Interesting to come back. I'm reading a book at the moment called A Contentious Alliance. It was written in about 2000, and it involves the workings between the Labour Party and the trade union movement to create it. And I've read this for the second time, 20 years after, however long, 10 years after I first read it, and it's completely different second time around because I've had more experience of what's gone on and things that are happening. So I'm reading the same book from a different perspective, and it's giving me a different outlook on things, much more questioning about where does this get. So this is an academic book,
yeah.
So a lot of it is written from minutes of meetings and stuff like that. And the difference is, I can read it now and say, yeah, but I was at that meeting. Yeah, well, I was in that environment. Well, I did do this with Neil Kinnock. Yes, I did do that with whoever it is, because I lived it. So my history is different to what this guy's is, because he's just got his from reading, I don't know, 13 different newspapers reporting on a meeting that was held in the St. Ermine's Hotel where the unions were trying to stitch up who was going to get elected onto the NEC.
Right.
I just go, well, I was in the room, so I know what happened. And it's different to what you read in the book. So, she was quite right. I mean, we should learn from history. We should learn from proper history that we're doing. So, and this is where I'm coming back full circle on where we are now, a lot of what we're being told now about this pandemic is what they saw in 1918 to 1923. So they are going to predict that the second wave is going to be bigger, because then the second wave was bigger. It killed more people. That's a historical fact. But I'm not so sure that that's going to say that's, you know, because it happened then, it's going to happen now. Technology is different today. Health cover is better today. Depending on where you are, of course, but you know, a lot of the South American and South African countries, or African countries in general, are going to suffer more. We all know that because their medical situation is much slower than it is here. You go, so why have Italy, Spain and the UK, why have we lost all these thousands of people if we've got all this knowledge already? And it's because they haven't learned. They haven't learned from recent history, and I'm not a believer. I'm not a great one for these masks. I do wear it. I do wear it when I go in the shop. You know, I've done everything what they say. Put the stuff on my hands. Worn gloves. You know, careful to do everything correct. But it's all based on, and I think people have, you know, right. Sue Dodds. And you know, she may be absolutely correct. And I may be absolutely correct, and you may be absolutely correct, because all we're basing whatever we know is on our own historical opinion base. I've heard this. This is what I believe. And I think, who was it? John rang in.
Yeah.
Peter.
Peter was here.
Peter's always been the one banging on about healthy diet and proper food and all that. And he's going, yeah, but that's not my style of life. I don't want to do that. So I will be vulnerable. So if I'm vulnerable to that, then I am, like Sue said, I'm one of those people who could walk out, catch it, and probably die. So I don't walk out to catch it. I try to avoid it.
Got a call coming in. Let's take a call and see how we're doing with this. 952-784-4000. Let's just see what they have to say. I want to call you live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
I was interrupted listening to your programme
because I had a call from a hospital in Essex,
right,
who said that I needed an echogram done and could I go in for an appointment?
Right.
So I explained that I was in Spain.
Yep.
That I received my treatment for a heart condition in Spain.
Yeah.
And that because of an error that this particular hospital had made with regard to my identity, I was having extreme problems proving who I was and where I needed to get my treatment. But anyway, I've just been hearing the last bit of what Alf is his name.
Alf is indeed his name, yes.
About information.
Yeah.
Now, there are two sorts of information. There's what we ourselves know to be correct because we were there. We were at that meeting. We heard what was said. We have read the minutes of the meeting, and we know that the minutes did not reflect what actually happened. This is what we know to be true because we were there. Now, everybody else has to read the minutes, read the book, read all these third-party accounts of what was said, and that's how all this false information gets around and destroys people's lives. I've had my life destroyed by false information. I was investigated for having allegedly misused public money, much as Juan Carlos has been. And I've just had to deal with it ever since. So I've had a lot of experience of dealing with the economic crisis that a lot of people that have never experienced it in their lives are going to experience in the future. Anyway, I've survived. But you lose a lot in the process.
Thank you for your call in there.
So
I'm glad that you agree with me.
Can you decide who I am? The interesting thing about the Juan Carlos thing is, to have rights, human rights, you have to have an identity, which nobody in the UK does have. They only have a travel document. And you have to have a place of residence. And lots of people in Spain don't have places of residence because where they are is not legal.
Okay.
So I'm not sure how a lot of us can ever expect to have any form of human rights. So I sympathise with Juan Carlos because I've been there and suffered the consequences of false allegations, untruths being believed, published in the media to damage your reputation, and all the consequences that you have to put up with. But anyway, I am surviving, enduring. I don't really care what my name is, but I know who I am. I know my own history. I know what happened, and I shall just get on with my life as best I can.
Thank you for your call in there.
I'm glad she agreed with me, Giles. It's what I said. The most important part of history is what we know, what we've done. And if you can't reflect back on what you've done, and you know, what I say, if you make a mistake in the past, if you don't reflect on it, you'll make the same again, mistake again in the future. That is, I know it's an old adage, but you know, that's what happens. So you should learn from history. And with the best will in the world, reading books and that is fine, reading newspapers, even watching getting your information in from wherever, but make sure you form your own opinion. Don't keep relying on others, which is fascinating, really, because somebody rang in and they said, why do people listen to Trump and not see through the lies? And you go, he got elected on that platform. He lied, he's a cheat, he's all sorts of things, but he still became the president of America. And my prediction, as is always, you know, sitting tenant, the chances are he will get re-elected. As much damage has been caused through this virus, my prediction is he will still get elected again, despite everybody knowing the lies. Because that's the way
politics works. People set aside that. I can't tell you how many people in Britain think that, you know, Boris Johnson, first of all, if he was near death, talk to the people who ended up on a ventilator, not sitting next to it. Talk to the people who were on ventilators for longer than 4 weeks. Not only were they on the ventilator and that's near death, most of those people coming off the ventilators have now got ongoing medical problems because of the ventilator. Now, I think I might have told you, Giles, a friend of mine was a senior doctor, senior GP in a whacking great big hospital in Exeter.
Is that a technical term, Alf?
Pardon?
Is that a technical term, whacking great hospital?
Yeah, whacking great big hospital.
I was working for the technical term.
There's lots of size of hospitals. If I started
talking whacking
about,
great is obviously one of the big ones.
Well, yeah, one of the biggies, because it's in the middle of Exeter, so it's their biggest hospital.
Yeah, okay.
It's a bit like talking about the hospitals in Malaga. They're all different sizes, but the really big one is the one by the university.
Yeah, right.
And that's the whacking one. So, yeah, my technical term. Anyway, to cut a long story short, he, in his whole 30-odd years of being a senior GP in this hospital, had never, ever once fitted a ventilator, except for on one occasion where it was an emergency. It's the nurses, but you never see that on the telly.
Mm.
You know, it's, I dare call them run-of-the-mill nurses, because no nurse is run-of-the-mill, but they're the ones who kept people alive in the hospitals and things like that. So Johnson comes out with this story. I was near death. No, you sat next to a ventilator. That's as close as you ever got. Talk to the people who had the incubators put in. Talk to the people who had the ventilators. Talk to the ones who have got ongoing medical problems. Unfortunately, you can't talk to the dead, but that would stop him saying stupid things like that. And they have this whole mythical thing, and they're loving it at the moment. What's the next distraction that's going to come along? And then what's the next? So we'll all talk about what King Juan Carlos is doing because it distracts from reality. And no disrespect, if this geezer's done something wrong, he'll go through the course. But if he thinks by going into exile to anywhere else in the world is going to stop the criticisms of him and his son, think again. You know, when did he stand down? 2014? They still talk about it now.
It's been 6 years indeed. Alf, I'm going to have to, unfortunately, go to my next guest. So any final... Good to have you back with the
Thank
enthusiasm
you.
That's flooding through there. And good, any final thoughts? Leave us with a cheery thought, Alf.
A cheery thought. The cheery thought is I went down to the beach for the first time this year on Saturday.
Yeah.
And I was absolutely amazed about how everybody was socially distanced, about the number of people they've got looking after. I walked off the beach with a couple of things in my hand to put down, and I put my hand in my pocket to take my mask out. Before I'd got my hand out, one of the beachcombers was there going, put your mask on. And I thought that was absolutely outstanding. If people are saying it's not safe, and that's a beach in Fuengirola, Carvajal Beach.
Yeah.
Which is normally heaving. And there was lots of people, but everybody was doing everything that they should have done.
Great. Alf, good to have you back with us. I'll get you on for longer next time.
Don't worry.
But it's good to hear your voice as well, mate. So take care and welcome back. Once again, Alf Brewer, thanks for your time today.
Talk soon.
Viewpoint on Talk Radio Europe with Giles Brown.
Right then, let's get going into the last, 12 minutes of show. Just go through a couple of the WhatsApps. Ray Murthy, wearing a mask is against human nature. How about clothes? This one in. Who do I believe? The general body of the medical opinion or various autodidacts on the Costa del Sol? I've said that completely wrong, but there you go. Anyway, get on with it. That is the most terrible comment I have heard this year. Very worrying. I'm not sure which one that was, but anyway. Larry, why do some people think that we don't have the right to our own individual thoughts and theirs are condescendingly correct? Margaret, even surgeons don't wear masks. Okay. I would be interested if your anti-vaxxer caller presented
for a serious surgical or medical procedure? Would she want someone who had studied at the medical school for 7+ years or someone who had educated themselves? Facts v. feelings, etc., etc. Delighted to go live for my final guest of the day. One of the person who's been much in demand on international media, etc. Anne Hernandez, good morning to you.
Good morning, Giles. Clean-shaven Giles as well.
Well, indeed. Well, it was. I was in the queue, as I said before. I was in the queue, and the beard had got to me, and it was it came off. And I've lost. If you know, lose 5 kilos, shave your beard off. Anyway,
I'm sure you have, yes.
Exactly. Brilliant. So you've been busy.
I have been busy. Yes. I'm not too keen that you invited me for a rant.
Not a rant, but I was being tongue in cheek, and it was late in the day yesterday. But I know you've had some forthright opinions, and listen, your site's been doing brilliant work. But one of the things that's been driving me mad and has been driving you mad is that people ask you for advice, and then they try and find loopholes in what you've said, and it's like, well, if you're going to do that, then just don't even bother.
Indeed, yes, I see this question. I'm tagging other groups. And I often say, look, I've answered you that once. I've given you the truth. I can't change it just because you don't like the answer.
So
what can you do?
Where do you stand then, and where we are on lockdowns, on quarantines, on what's been going on? I mean, I've seen some stuff coming on social media about Brits fighting on planes going over to Ibiza. What are your thoughts so far?
Well, I think it's pretty disgusting, to be honest. Quarantine, yeah, I've got my suspicions on that. I don't know. It was all very strangely done. Adopted the obligation of wearing masks within 3 hours, where it took 10 days to get the obligation, not the mask, the quarantine, whereas it took 10 days to get the obligation of wearing masks. Is it Brexit related? Is he trying to get one over on Spain, Gibraltar, et cetera? I don't know.
I mean, a lot of the press were saying, "Oh, well, you shouldn't have gone on holiday during a pandemic." But we were, you know, the thing was that Boris Johnson said, and I remember the, you know, quote unquote, the mainstream media saying, "You know, Boris allows us to go on our holes," and then bang, you know, with 4 hours' notice, you got to get back from the country.
And then the airline started cancelling flights. I mean, here on the Costa del Sol, tourism accounts for approximately 45% of our economy here. You know, we can nearly afford it. We were just getting back to our sort of new normal, let's say, and then Spain's hit with this. It's going to be difficult. It really is. Have you seen how few Brits there are actually here on the Costa del Sol?
I've seen how few Brits there are on the Costa del Sol, but what I have seen on a lot of social media are Spaniards going out, and it's particularly young Spanish people who seem, I know they've banned the botellón in several parts of Spain, Andalusia, for example, but, you know, I was sent pictures of, you know, young people, you know, in beach clubs, they're not social distancing. There was this thing in Torremolinos about a DJ act who was sort of spraying Jägermeister over a crowd. So, yeah. You know, people are going to get very, you know, it's a difficult situation, Anne.
It's a very difficult situation. It is. I mean, you know, and a lot of people really are adamant that they will not wear a mask because it invades their
human rights, their personal
their
space.
Human rights, yeah. That's it. Like you're saying, you know, a clothes are human right. Should we all walk around naked? I don't know. But if that's what we're told to do, and if we are helping others, then as a non-selfish person, that is what I shall do, much as I hate wearing it, probably the same as everybody else. But until someone can prove to me that by not wearing it, I'm not doing any bad to anybody else, then I shall continue to obey the rules. Plus, I can't afford €100 fine.
Exactly. There's an email come in. So we've got, you know, Ray. You can't eat or drink with a face mask on. It gets really messy if you try. Thank you. The face mask laws have been tightened because of the number of people who ignored the simpler rules and decided that they know better than many health professionals who do advise that people wear face masks as possible help to prevent the forward contagion of more people. Now, the easy bit to understand is that by not wearing a face mask, you're doing absolutely all to help the situation in any way. But by wearing the face mask, you might be helping to prevent the forward contagion of others. So the choice is between all or might help. It really is as simple as that. This virus had now ended the lives of well over 600,000 people in 5 months and should not be underestimated. Many survive, many don't. Until a worthwhile vaccine is freely available to everyone, we are all stuck on the same planet with no real chance of changing the outcome if we do nothing. Hopefully, this makes more sense than arguing about against something as easy as to wear a face mask. That's in from Ray. And another one in here from Greta, who says, "Hi, Giles. Why should the countries get themselves into such an economic disaster if the COVID-19 not real? Do we have the right to drink and drive? It's not only our lives, it's also others. The same thing with a mask. Have you got the right to spread infection?" So there you go. And some people coming in on the mask thing.
Yeah, Giles, it's like going back to when they imposed driving the seatbelts. The obligation of having to wear seatbelts. I'm sure there was a lot of resentment then, but we've all got around it, haven't we?
We have indeed, and it's now taken us. But we're not. I mean, we're not saying, are we? We're going to have to wear masks for the rest of our lives. This is supposed to be a. This is a temporary health measure.
Yes, or until they find a vaccine. I mean, the one thing I have said, the common sense, common being the word in inverted commas, needs changing because it is extremely rare, and they have left it to people's common sense to do what they consider is right, and obviously they haven't done it.
Where do you think we go from here then, and what do you think our next move should be?
Well, we've just got to keep obeying the rules. I mean, something else I would want to rant about, as you invited me to rant,
yeah,
is that these so-called professionals that are abiding people, that our green residency, whether
yes.
it's your certificate or the card, it becomes invalid on the 31st of December. That is so untrue. That is wrong. That's a real pet hate of mine, people trying to exploit people just to earn a quick buck.
Well, the thing is that the reason some people say that, because if you look closely at your residency permanente, it says for EU citizens, and they're arguing that Brits won't become EU citizens as of the 31st of December.
Yeah, but those that have it are covered by the 18.4 in as much as we will become beneficiaries of the EU withdrawal agreement.
So you think it's just people trying to make a quick buck out of some people who are vulnerable, who are worried, who don't know where to turn to because obviously they're not sure where the real information is coming from?
Or incapable of reading the withdrawal agreement, and I wouldn't like to say that solicitors are that. I don't know. I don't know, but it is really annoying me. And I'm trying to iron it out. We're working with the embassy quite closely on this to try and get the information out correctly. But obviously we need to attack Moncloa central government because even some of the authorities are giving this information. You know, the police, etc.
I mean, the thing, yeah, I mean, if you've got, as it stands at the moment, if you've got a green residency, then you're permanente, you're covered.
Yeah, whether it's permanent or not, you're still covered.
Well, if it's a one you have to renew every five, is it for 5 to 10
years? Yeah, that's fine. You're still covered. And when you renew it, then you will get your TIE.
Right.
The only thing that you must have is your current address on it at all times. So if you have moved, for example, get your padron from where you've moved to, from the town hall, and then apply to exchange it. You won't get the old green residency. You will get the new TIE.
Which is nice and shiny.
You must keep your address.
Yeah. It's the address is the main thing there, but don't get panicked into rushing off and getting one, even though, yeah. Yeah?
No. Perfect.
If people want to find some more information, it's the website is?
All the W's, brexpats.es, or any of our five Facebook groups, Brexpat in Spain.
And as always, it's really good to speak to you. Take care. I'm glad you could join me briefly for a rantette today rather than a full blown.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, we'll get you in the studio. We'll have the full hurricane force
I'll
one.
I'll prepare a better rant then. Yeah, that's good. I don't want to be known as Mrs. Angry.
No, of course not. I just want to give you, because I know there's some things that have been getting on your whatevers, and you wanted to get it out there.
Like people.
Listen, good to speak to you as always, Anna Hernandez. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thanks, Giles.
952-78-4000. In fact, I'll do the jingle instead.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio@tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
Into the last couple of minutes of the programme. Morning, call, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
I think my name is Patience Kelly.
Right, okay, Patience Kelly, hit me.
when I have a verifiable identity,
Sorry, a what?
A verifiable.
Sorry, yeah, sorry, I didn't hear you. Yeah, yeah.
Not one based on a lawyer's error.
Right.
And when I have an address which is verifiable.
Right.
And which is not some random piece of a catastral parcel,
right,
or two or three catastral parcels in Celebrania.
Yeah.
Perhaps I will be able to do all these things that you are advising people,
right,
that they may do. And I hope I didn't sound too emotional.
Of course
but
not.
But that union chap made me angry,
right,
because it made me remember my last confrontation with the union at Essex County Council,
yeah,
and Jerry Glacier and some barrister from London, where having being faced with a conflict with the three of them, the barrister,
right,
the union official,
yeah,
and the LEA for Essex, I'm afraid they just reduced me to tears. And the human resources man told me to go away and write a book about it.
Right.
But anyway, the thing that most upset me was when Jerry Glacier, the union official who had thrown me to the wolves and destroyed my life and my kids' lives and everybody connected with me, including my grandchildren, what most annoyed me was when the London barrister,
right,
and the union official went to the toilet together.
Right, thanks very much for your call in there. Right, into the last minute of viewpoint here. Just to say my thanks to my guest today, Anne Hernandez, also to Roslyn Scott Gibb, to Andres Gallardo and Alf Brew, of course. This repeat show will be repeated at 6 o'clock. And thanks to Liz, who said hi, best comedy program on radio. I don't know who is right or who is wrong. I'm going to go on in my own sweet way regardless. Stay safe. Take care. Lots of love. I'll see you later on in the week. Stephen Ritson up next.
The views expressed on Viewpoint by invited studio guests and callers do not constitute an opinion endorsed in any way by Talk Radio Europe.
You've been listening to a TRE production. If you've enjoyed this program, there'll be another episode waiting for you next week, right here on this platform, where you can also access our extensive back catalogue of shows and interviews. For more information on our live programming, social media channels, and apps, and how to contact Talk Radio Europe, please visit tre.radio.